Well, we've been having a very profitable study this quarter on the qualifications of elders, and later we'll be talking about deacons. And we are at the most controversial part of our study. We mentioned last week how the elders were to have believing or faithful children, one of the qualifications given there. Elders are to have believing or faithful children. We pointed out last time that the word believing or faithful, indicates the one who's a believer or a Christian. We've seen how that is used, both the believed, dealing with conversions in the New Testament. That's the normal usage of that term. Again, we covered this last week. And then faithful, also, that generally has the same meaning of being faithful to God. Now, some have debated, well, are they faithful to their parents, obedient to their parents in the home? And that's certainly one element of the kind of children that elders should have. But I've understood these two terms to talk about those that are Christians. So, we got a lot of questions that come out of this. One of the questions raised last time is, what if children fall away after leaving home? What about children that never become Christians and leave the homes? A lot of questions that we could ask, we need to ask, and we're going to talk about that tonight. Instilling faith in your children is one of the greatest challenges that you can face. And not only while they're in your home, but also in helping them after they leave home. I don't know about you, but I continue to have a relationship with my children. And there are spiritual battles that are fought. My relationship changes with them. They're no longer under me. But I continue to try to fight the battle to help them grow, to help them avoid things that could destroy them. And one thing that I know this. Anything can happen to your children. Your children could go down paths you never dreamed they would go down. And so we're not talking about necessarily about the qualifications here for right now, except the battlefield. A faithful Christian is going to be working as long as they are alive to try to help their children go down the right path. And children may choose a wrong path. And I say that not lightly. I vividly can see where that could happen to one or more of my children. And I'm thankful right now, you know, they're fighting the fight. But we need to be aware of that just in our overall families. Don't you ever be overconfident that your children are going to grow up and follow the ways of the Lord. You want to have a positive and encouraging effect to that for your children, but don't be overconfident here. There is a lot of battles that are to be fought. And again, so what if a man's children become unfaithful after they've left his household? Does this disqualify him? And there is probably the most controversial point in our study. I'm using the author's outline, and we're going to talk some things in that outline, then we're going to talk about some other things in this area. First off, I do know, without question, the qualifications deal with how he rules his household while they're in his household. So let's just start there. Let's talk about that which is unquestionable. Not every man's the head of his house. Not every man is a leader. Sometimes it's the wife that's the leader and she instills the faith and the man is just kind of a moneymaker, which is fine. Being able to be the head of your house and ruling your house requires wisdom, patience. Listen, all the qualifications we're talking about to be an elder, it takes to be a parent. And I'll tell you what, even when you do a good job, you ought to feel very inadequate and very humbled by it and know that you need God's help. But not every man is the spiritual leader of their home. And if you have that situation, that man was not going to make a good shepherd of the church. They're to be spiritual leaders. Now, sometimes people take this position that if you raise your child the right way, they'll never fall away. Some will quote Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. And I view this verse as a truism, not as an absolute. If you view it as an absolute, that's fine. This is not necessarily going to determine whether or not how we view these qualifications, frankly, but just talking about a point here that I do believe that a Christian can fall away. That can be a faithful Christian and choose to go down the wrong path. And I don't believe that if a child falls away later, that it's necessarily the fault of the parents, okay? This still doesn't answer the question of qualifications, but I just want to say that we need to be very humble about this. I'll tell you what, I'll just be about me. If my child fell away, I'd probably blame myself. I'm just telling you, just for me, I would look back and say, I could have done this better, I could have done that better. And sometimes when they struggle, you feel that way. Like, you know, where did we go wrong? What could we have done better? I think every parent goes through that struggle. It's not just one there in your home, by the way, you know, as they get out. And so there's a part of me, even though I'm saying that's not, I don't think that's an absolute for me, probably as a parent, I still would probably just take a very close look at myself. Yes. I think there's weight where that could happen. I'm not going to be absolute on it because, again, I could show you some other passages in Proverbs that are truism. You can't say they're absolute, that they deal with the concept. I do believe the seed planted and the example given, the exhortation, sometimes they may come back after you're dead. And I've tried to encourage parents with that to remember that, you know, we're doing our best. We're planting our seed. Yes.
I believe that the Proverbs, and I typically take a conservative stand on
yes.
about everything, but I believe that the Proverbs are general statements of truth and not absolute. If you took that as an absolute, it would take away choice, which God does not do.
Right. Yeah, so it's a principle, not an absolute. Again, some other concepts here. This doesn't really necessarily answer our question of what the qualification is. So we're dealing with some arguments that come up, and I'm going to go ahead and deal with them now. I do believe everybody can recognize that there is a change of relationship once a child leaves the home. There is, certainly we can see in marriage, where the relationship of the parents change. And so, biblically, Old New Testament, obviously, The father is not guilty of the son's sin. And I'm not saying that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about qualifications. We're not talking about this particular point, but let's raise the point because I think it has significance. Deuteronomy 24:16, fathers shall not be put to death for their children. In other words, if the child does wrong, you know, it's the one who does wrong has the judgment in terms of law. It says, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers. A person shall be put to death for his own sin. And there's other verses that talk about that. We won't read them all. We're very familiar with Ezekiel 18:20. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself. The wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. And so again, we do our best with our children. We raise them. We teach them. But they've got to learn to stand on their own, and they will face consequences of the stands they take. And there are times, you know, I pray, and of course we're not talking about the death penalty here, but I mean, I pray with my children sometimes. You teach them and they don't listen, and you hope that life beats it out of them. You hope that the consequences may reinforce what teaching you've given them. But again, they're in just terms of standing before God in judgment and many other things, each person stands on their own. Now again, this is an argument I'm not thrilled with. This is in the outline. Somebody may say, well, God raised children and they fell away. Well, yes, in a figurative sense. Isaiah 1:2, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. And again, that's just, again, a figurative passage dealing with God, dealing with Israel as a nation. And I really wouldn't go very far down this path. I don't like that argument that much, but this is the argument that's in the area. So here's the question that I think is the crucial question as you look at this. First off, before we deal with the outline, what would be characteristic of children that would disqualify an elder while they're in the home? Let's just start there. What's that?
Children don't believe.
What else in qualifications? We haven't read them. I guess we could have read 1 Timothy 3 tonight, Titus 1 tonight, but I trust we've been reading those a lot. What should children not be guilty of? What's that? Insubordination, being unruly. Have you ever seen that in a home? Of course. And there are a lot of ways that happens. We're not talking about weakness. Parents, your children are going to be getting into things while they're still in your home that you're going to sometimes wonder if you've taught them anything. We're not talking about a step away, a failure, and then discipline, and then you bring them back, you know. We're not talking about just weaknesses, but we're talking about a pattern of life, a rebellious child. I've seen some men that I love dearly that were some of the best preachers who influenced me. I've spent years studying with them, sometimes personally, who would have one of their children come out of their home to be an utter disaster. And you know, I, you don't know who I'm talking about, and I hope I haven't given it away. But I really think they thought their child was the greatest thing on earth, and they praised them for their intellect. And they made them feel as if they were, you know, God's gift to man. And as capable as that brother was, and that those parents who I love very much, they created at least a son that was just a rebellious son, even today. It was very sad, the story. And I think we all have seen accounts like that. It's kind of, sometimes it's manifested in the home. Listen to me. Sometimes it's manifested after they've left the home. And here is this challenging question that I would ask. If a man's children become unfaithful, is it because of their home training or in spite of it? And you may say, well, that's a great question to ask. How can you know when you're dealing with somebody else's home? That's the sensitive, challenging part of trying to consider men or women be qualified to be elders. And, you know, I want to say this too, as we deal with this. This is why the eldership process is fraught with minefields. We're trying to find some people who are qualified to possibly be appointed to be leaders. We're not doing a criminal investigation. Sometimes in this, you know, do we need to investigate and get into everybody's private matters, and we need to talk about this, that, and the other. These are just challenges that you face as you're dealing with this. But we have to talk about this. If someone is being considered to be an elder and they have unfaithful children, then that's something that has to be examined and discussed. Yes. I don't know of an age threshold. As I would see, the two barriers I see is the barriers of in the home, out of the home. Now, if you're talking about how late is it until they become a Christian?
Like if you have a 16-year-old son, yeah, that hasn't been baptized yet,
That would be an interesting thing. It may bring a cautionary flag. Some of the questions are, should you have all their children be Christians? And you have no doubt. You know, we get in some interesting questions there. I guess you'd have to individually look at that. If you have sometimes some are slower than others. I know that my son, he wanted to be baptized, and I thought it was too early. And we held him back, and he waited 2 more years, and we kind of wondered, you know, there were maybe 3 more years, when we went, did we do the wrong thing? You know, and he eventually did fine. And so that's a great question. I don't have an answer for you, except we look at whether or not their children are believing. Ryan. Yes.
I can only judge them based on what I see right now. I don't know somebody raise their kids. They could have been the most incredible father in the world and still had children that are unbelieving. That doesn't make them a terrible person, but to me it makes them disqualified from being an elder, because it says having believing children. And I know some will disagree with me on this, but you know, when we talked last week about one child versus multiple children, you know, we made the point that, well, you know, a man has multiple children might be more qualified. And
And the having believing children would deal with a present, ongoing situation in terms of the verb there. And, of course, the question comes, all of them or some of them? You know, you get in some other questions that are raised. Huh?
That's your next slide, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I don't know. I'm giving the outline, but in my mind, I want to change this. I've got my mind, I want to go another direction, some of this. But those are the challenges here. I agree, having believing children. How do you handle that? See, here in the home, they need to be in subjection, not accused of riot or unruly. It's interesting here, they are accused, means an accusation. I won't give in some, there's a lot of personal, you know, illustrations here. An accusation, there's something established here as a pattern of habit. So they can be accused. The idea of riot, it means a wastefulness. Unruly means not subject to rule. Again, it's not that they've got issues. It is do they repent? Do they respond to their parents? Are their parents in the lead? Are they raising? Now, I'm telling you, you got a strong-willed child, there are going to be times people are going to question your parenting. I remember even, you know, we had one of our children had very outgoing personality, and there were times, you know, we'd have a little difficulty in controlling emotions. And I know that a lot of people questioned our parenting, and we kind of questioned our parenting too in some things, you know, when you're dealing with a strong-willed child. And so there's a lot to consider, but we've always, the one thing that we decided we will do, we will never lose one battle with our children, not one. Now, you know the pattern when somebody doesn't do that and they let the child get their way. What does the child learn? I can press the boundaries. I can debate endlessly. And, oh, we had some capable debaters. And we listen. But once the decision is made, this is it. And some people want to be their child's best friend, and I'm okay with being friends, but you need to be a parent. And so disasters come. They get involved in riot, dissipation. Attendance would be one thing we would look at. It's this question. Must all children be Christians, even if some are not old enough? I would be very concerned if an elder had a child that never became a Christian. We're talking about older, out of the home, not a believer. I'd be concerned about that. Must every child, even though there's some in the household, not yet the age of accountability, you have one or more that are Christians and others that are not. Does that disqualify? Do we need to wait for all the children? I have an answer. You have an answer? Yes. And again, we got time. Time doesn't hurt. I'll say this. We may have some people who may be qualified, but maybe the church chooses to wait a little more for some of those kind of things to be cleared up. Sometimes we talk about qualification, we talk about expediency. There are some things that, you know, it may well be in terms of where the co-congregation is at in this whole process. That's going to dictate some things. As I suggested earlier, we may well have circumstances where we don't appoint every qualified person. I hope we can. I hope we do. We may have none. We may have some that are close. We may have several. But in the process, it is going to involve the entire congregation. It's going to require a communication process, and we'll make some decisions. I can tell you what decisions I would make for me. You know, you talk about the situation. What if your child fell away after they're out of the home and older? For me, I would not continue as an elder. That's how I would view that. If that happened to another person, I would, again, I don't view this as I view this. I view this on an individual basis. I view this as questions that, there's an expediency aspect to this. There's also an absolute aspect to this. And a lot of these questions are going to have some of those areas where we've got some decisions that we have to make. When we're putting the whole congregation through this, I have some views, but I realize my views, as Ryan points out here, that sometimes there are inferences, there are possible inferences. There, I will say this, I can give you the absolute certain situation. The certain situation is one children never fall away. And so I'm not saying I'm not saying God's word is not accurate and not sufficient for us to know. I'm just telling you I struggle a little bit on some of these things with an absolute in some of these questions. We're going to go here and then here. There's so many great questions. How about mental illness too? As you deal with that, and that's a real thing, and that can happen even within the home, and then later out of the home. There, and again, sometimes people use that as an excuse, but there are a lot of interesting questions that you raise on an individual basis. You have to look at those questions, and you have to look at what the congregation is willing to work with too. There's another aspect to that. Especially in today's society. However, Okay. Okay, a couple more. Let's get more. Yes. Right.
I will never be an elder.
Right.
We never had children.
Of course, I was talking to you about adoption, but anyway, no. I'm just kidding. Okay. Very good. And so, right, again, if someone is, we choose, say someone is not qualified, it doesn't mean you have failed. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. You know, I think it's very important. Right. And expediency is a critical term here. And I'm not saying the congregation makes the rules, but I am saying there's a communication process that takes place here. Let me mention one more thing. How about you still have some that are not yet believing children, you have some that are qualified, and I just want to say this as a bit of advice. Your relationship to the congregation changes when you're appointed an elder. Now, if you've been a preacher, you understand this. But your family gets put under a microscope. And your children are going to have to deal with sometimes new expectations. You heard about preachers' kids, you know, and sometimes. And again, I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but I'm just saying that it will add some more pressure to your raising your children while they're in your home. And I think with a good congregation, I think we've got a good congregation that works fine. We've worked very, very hard with our children. We never tell you to do something because you're the preacher's kid or now you're the elder's son or daughter. We work overtime to make sure that you do this because you love God. It's not because of that. But sometimes there's going to be a little additional pressures. I'm just saying. And when you have children in the home, these are just the truth, and there's a process that goes that you take place with. I think the existing elders, if you have existing elders, would help you. Okay, we've had some great discussions here, and let's just go ahead and finish up any other discussion on children. Any questions? I like what we've done. Yes. Yes.
I think that's the same thing mentioned in verse 5 of 1 Timothy 3. It says, if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? The congregation is selecting among them, from them, someone that they have confidence in their leadership ability. And God says, if you don't have confidence in their leadership ability in their home, they're not qualified to be elders. And okay.
And I would say, as we make that confidence, let us make righteous judgment and be careful, you know, because, like you say, there's other things we are not aware of. Your point's correct. I don't want to undermine your point. Let's be careful as we make the judgment that we see clearly. That would be the main thing. Yes. Okay. We really, over time, real quick. There is judgment. There's also discernment. And again, God has blessed us, but the concept, we got it. The concept that has been the last few points is we got it. And let's be praying. Let's be mindful. Let's be, like I say, wise in the choices we're going to make. Thank you for your participation tonight.